It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
It's always exciting when David Ramey is our guest. Ramey Wines, in my top three of all local wineries. Man, they do good work. David, welcome back. Good to see you.
Steve, good to be here. Thank you.
It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, is on his way in. And, of course, my co-host Dan Berger with us. Hi, Dan.
Great to be dry. So far.
it's going to rain and it's going to snow in the Sierras a lot.
It's going to be a lot of wind.
Yeah. We have our sales manager is driving up to go skiing today. They're going to get hit pretty hard, apparently, which is good.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, we need it. Okay, so I'm looking at the Ramey website, RameyWine.com, and you've got a really cool timeline that begins in 1996 and goes through last year. And I always start out by asking the guest the history of the winery, and then we'll get into the history of you personally. But Ramey has been an iconic winery for many years now.
Well, you know, we started in 96, but I like to say that I'm a professional winemaker. It's the only thing I've done as a grown-up. And after the retread, a bunch of us ended up at UC Davis that had liberal arts degrees in the 70s. And so after getting the Master of Science, then I worked overseas. I worked in France. I worked in Australia. And then I worked for other people. I worked at Simi. I worked in the Tanzas Creek, Chalk Hill. And then when I went over to the other side of the Mayacamas to work with Cristian Moex at Dominus, then...
Say that again?
That's when I could start my own brand.
He was working at Dominus Winery with Cristian Moex from France.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that name before.
Well, you know, some people have.
Well, we've been doing this show for 8-9 years, so I hear about everybody.
Well, it is on the other...
I didn't know who Andrei Chelichev was until 8 years ago.
Well, Dan probably told you about him.
Yeah, actually. So, 96. When was your first vintage was 96?
Of Ramey Wine Cellars was 1996. It was 260 cases of Hyde Vineyard Chardonnay. I knew Larry Hyde from when I worked at Matanzas Creek. I had bought his Semillon to go into the Matanzas Sauvignon Blanc, and he found a little Chardonnay for me in 96.
Your thoughts, Dan?
David's been an iconic winemaker for a long, long time, and his consulting work precedes him as well because all of the work he's done with these incredible brands that rose from nothing to stylish. And then starting in 96, of course, with the founding of Ramey Wine Cellars, this has become one of the iconic brands in Sonoma County. And these wines are just astounding wines. Not to everybody's understanding sometimes because David's far ahead of the curve in terms of the style. When you taste them, Steve, you'll know.
Oh, I have tasted them, and I do know. I told David this is one of my favorite wineries in the world, and their Chardonnay is pretty much second to none in my book, and I am Steve Chardonnay Jackson. So.
That's true.
Barry Steve, Herbst, thank you.
Barry Herbst is here from Bottle Barn. How you doing?
Howdy. Doing great. You must be in heaven today, Chardonnay specialist at this level.
Yeah, my favorite.
Yeah.
Mike, do we have a chair for Barry?
Or I'm fine.
We're out of chairs.
I've been sitting.
Okay, we'll just get on your microphone.
Oh, okay. Here we go. lean into it.
So, a little more on your thoughts on Ramey, because it is so iconic.
Yeah, well, one thing that David specializes in, besides the unbelievable technical skill, is finding vineyards that really represent how he can integrate all those techniques in the winery to produce these rather amazing wines. One of the things about David's wines is that they have California fruit, but European sensibility. Mm. And there's real style to that. And in effect, what you're getting is a flavor profile that very few people have ever elicited from these unique vineyards that he's using. And this is really a great benefit to Sonoma County. It really gives us a legacy.
God, this is great. I don't have to say anything. Like, you know, these two guys are carrying the ball.
Sit back and soak in the accolades.
Your ego will not need massaging for months now. Barry, your thoughts as the wine buyer for Bottle Barn, et cetera.
Oh, great wines, easy to sell. Particularly, we do well with the sidebar wines, the You know, there's no crossover in varietals, I don't think, between the two.
No, I was going to say that David has a sidebar winery called Sidebar.
Right, exactly. The sidebar.
Yeah. Carefully chosen. Yeah, this is we started in 2014, and it's a it's a fun brand. We've got a Russian River Syrah Rosé here, 2017. We've got a Red Field blend, which is Zinfandel, essentially old vine, 165-year-old blocks. So we're having a little fun with that.
And how long has Sidebar been a thing?
2014 was our first vintage. Okay. So this is 17, so that's the fourth vintage now.
Now, you brought some Ramey Chardonnays, like I said, pretty much my favorite all the way around. And you've brought two old ones. Dan would probably still lay these down, but I say they've been pre-laid down.
That's right.
So for me, explain what vintages. I haven't even tasted any wine yet. Vintages did you bring?
Well, we have two Russian River Chardonnays here. We've got a 2005, so arguably 12 years old.
Yeah.
And a 2007, so 10 or so years old. This is our Russian River Valley, which comes from a blend of various vineyards, a lot of Dutton, a lot of Martinelli, Rocchioli in there. And it's just to show, and the fact of the matter is, Dan had lunch with us today at the winery, and so we know he likes to lay wine down, and so we showed him some older wines, and then we thought we would bring them and share them with you, Steve.
Pre-laid down. I love
pre-laid
it.
Pre-laid down.
Yeah. I don't have to go to Dan's in 20 years to try it.
What's really nice about these wines is it shows what red wine style white wines can move into when they get their appropriate bottle aging. This 05 we had at lunch today is really it's kind of a red wine with no color. It's fabulous.
Really?
The complexity is remarkable.
Yeah, explain more about what you mean, a red wine with no color.
It's got a lot of substance to it. It's a big, fairly concentrated wine. In spite of the fact that it's still white, it's still delicate, it still has some fragrance, but what's really fascinating is after you taste it, it's the aroma is, is Chardonnay. You put it in your mouth and you say, wait a minute, this is pretty good. It's a big wine, but it holds together because of good acidity. So Dave's really done a fabulous job of capturing the ageability of Chardonnay.
Describe what you're getting in the aroma, because it is unique to me, but just very...
Little teeny bit of creme brulee, a little bit of creme brulee, but a little bit also of lemon curd, almost, as a sort of a lemony component from the Russian River Appellation. And the other thing that's most interesting is almost a hint of richness. I don't know how to describe that other than how would you call it, David?
Oh, I think richness is a great word. Yeah.
Concentration. Yeah. Beautiful wines. Gorgeous. Not many people can claim their entry level, quote unquote, Chardonnay has Martinelli, Dutton, Rocchioli vineyards, and three of the most iconic growers in our area. I doubt hardly anybody could have a lineup like that in their entry level Chardonnay.
And David gave me a bottle of brand new, their newest Chardonnay release, I guess. It's Rocchioli Vineyards.
Rocchioli 2015 is the first vintage. I think sometimes the vintages run together for me now. But, we've been buying Rocchioli Chardonnay for four different blocks, at Rocchioli and Allen, for about 10 years. And it had been going into the Russian River. And then Joe said to me, well, I need more money, and I said, Joe, I can't. If I'm going to pay you more for the grapes, I'm going to have to vineyard designate it. He said, well, that's okay. So that's how it started, you know.
Wow. And you see,
whatever it takes.
When you're tasting this, Steve, you get sort of the impression of red wine in the mouth. It's pretty rich.
Yeah, I can understand what you meant. This is totally unique for me, Mr. Chardonnay. An 05. My God, this is cool.
Still in great shape, too. Plenty of life.
This is why those of us who are a little nutty will put the stuff away. This is the benefits you get.
And you think the richness comes from lower yields? Is that part play into it a little bit?
Not necessarily. I would say good grapes, good winemaking, and then properly bottled,
right.
In order to hold. One thing I would say for folks out there is that, I refer to Chardonnay as the red wine of whites, and that's what makes it the most compelling, complex white wine on the planet.
Wow.
And honestly, if you have a group of people and you open an aromatic white, okay, Sauvignon Blanc, Gewurztraminer, Viognier.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. Yep. I'm sorry. And this is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, back with us, my other co-host, Dan Berger. And today our friend David Ramey from Ramey Wines is in my favorite show, Ramey Shard, which was one of the most unique I've ever tasted. Now we go to a really young wine, 2007.
Yes, born yesterday.
Yeah. Tell us about this one, Dave.
Well, you know, it's really, I mean, just a different vintage and 2 years difference in age. You know, similar grape sourcing. I think at this point we're dealing with a fair bit of Charlie Heinz fruit from Occidental. And we started to work with the Duttons by that point, not yet the Martinellis. I think Rocchioli, just about that time. So,
well, and Dan, before we got back on air, you said I may like this even more than the 05.
Slightly richer.
Yeah, I think maybe for you know, every evening, the 05
in your cellar, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, cases,
as I've said.
05 was a little cooler vintage, and 07 a little warmer vintage. So the 07 is a little plusher wine than the 05.
I swear, the 05 was one of the most unique shards I've ever tasted. And you know, not that I know a whole lot and have tasted a lot, but I think I like the 07 a little better.
Well, I think there's a lot of wonderful complexity in both of these wines, and you don't get the complexity when the wine's really young, which is one reason why Dave is just releasing the 15, which is now, you know, 2.5 years. And some wineries are already releasing their 16s, and some are even closing in on opening 17s. Mm-hmm. You know, you need a little bit of time in bottle before you can get these flavors.
So, David, that Rocchioli that you gave me to take home is 15?
15, yeah.
And just being released?
Just released now.
Wow.
Well, you know, see, we make wine with native yeast, with native bacteria. We don't own a filter. So everything is the old-fashioned way. And these Appalachian Chardonnays, these Russian River Chardonnays, they spend 12 months on the lees in barrel, and then they're bottled in January unfiltered, whereas the single vineyards spend about 19 to 20 months on the lees in the barrel. And you get complexity and texture that way. The analogy I would use is like making a marinara sauce, a ragu, a bolognese. And, you know, you could
you
do it.
You said that really good as a
you
non-Italian.
Could do it in, you could do it in 30 minutes, but it's going to be better at 2 or 3 hours. You know,
or a day.
That's the way it is, and yeah. It's the same thing with wine. It depends on what kind of product you want to make. And
well, it's like sex.
Well, you know, I was going to say that, but you know, thank you for beating me to it. You know.
Oh man, you obviously have winemakers working with you, right? It's not.
I do.
You can't do it all.
I don't do it all myself. That's just true.
Yeah. How many different folks?
Well, Cameron Fry was our original employee in 2002, so it's coming up on 16 years now. He's our vice president of winemaking, so he schedules everything and plans everything and organizes everything, and then we taste together. And then Lydia Cummins, who's down at World of Pinot Noir at Bacara, north of Santa Barbara right now, she's our associate winemaker. She's been with us 8 years, 9 years, 10? I can't remember.
Wow.
So we have a good team. We have a solid team, yeah. And then, of course, our two kids have joined, Alan and Claire, and they taste with us and are starting to contribute things. Claire buys the bottling supplies now and tastes with us, and Alan travels a little bit. He and I are flying to New York on Saturday for a week on the East Coast.
And your kids are like 12 and 15 because I'm assuming that because you look so young.
They were. No, they're 25 and 27, and
wow.
I didn't start early. So no, I'm actually 67, and I'm starting to tell everybody that, so they cut me a break here and there.
Well, it must be
a little slack.
It's because you drink good wine.
It helps.
Yeah. Twice a day, lunch and dinner.
And you've got a new tasting room coming down the pike?
Oh, well, in theory, we have a new winery coming down the pike with a tasting room. We did, over 5 years ago now, we did buy Westside Farms on Lower West Side Road. It's a mile south of Rocchioli and across the street from William Selyem. It's a 75-acre parcel, and there's a decaying hop kiln and a baling barn there that we want to turn the hop kiln into a tasting room and the baling barn into a sort of a private tasting room. And then across the street, it's a strange property. It crosses West Side Road, so that's 75 acres, but there's 6.5 acres on the west of West Side Road behind the yellow farmhouse, and that's where we're going to put some cut-and-fill caves and build a winery right there.
Oh, cool. So you're not moving.
We will move completely into that. That will be Ramey Wine Cellars.
Now, in the meantime, tell everyone about the current Ramey Wine Cellars.
Well, we have an industrial building in Healdsburg on Lower Healdsburg Avenue, right near the bridge, 25 Healdsburg Avenue, and that's where we have host tastings by appointment. That's a long-term lease, and we have all our own equipment, all our own staff. There's just us. There's nobody else in the building. So it's our winery, but we, of course, want to build a winery on property that we own.
Let's talk about the Sidebar wines. I love these wines.
Okay, now, the Sidebar started, what you said, 14?
14, yeah. So okay. It's a fourth vintage.
And there's no Sidebar wines that are the same as Ramey wines.
In terms of varietals, right.
Yes.
There's a varietal firewall between Sidebar and
Ramey. I love that idea.
No Sidebar Chardonnay, no Sidebar Cabernet, Syrah, or Pinot Noir. But we could do anything else. In fact, today at lunch, we were talking maybe about even doing, a little Riesling.
Well,
you
know? That's crazy.
It's on my calendar.
Oh, man.
Mm, that's a beauty.
The aroma of
rosé. Rosé of this caliber doesn't come along often. This is really different. It's special. It's got real Syrah character as opposed to these. When they do the bleeding, that Saunier process, you make a clumsy rosé. And to me, it's not rosé unless you chill it down and have it as cold as an icicle. And in this case, you could serve this at room temperature and love it.
It's almost room temperature right now.
Fabulous.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. We just had Stett Holbrook, editor of The Bohemian, on, and one of the articles in The Bohemian this week is about quiche making a comeback. And remember in 82, there was a book, Real Men Don't Eat Quiche?
I remember it well.
I do, too. And then the late, great Ben Pearson, your predecessor, Dan, used to say, back in the day, men did not want to be seen drinking pink wine.
Right.
And now rosé is huge.
Everything's come full circle.
Yeah. And, I mean, everyone's making rosé. Yeah. This is definitely special. Yeah.
This is really
And I had kind of given up on Syrah rosé. I'd had so many poor examples. And now 2 weeks in a row, we had Pesh Merrill on last week. Mm-hmm. He had a beautiful Syrah rosé. And
David,
this one, this is really nice.
David, talk about making this.
Well, so I wanted to call this intentional rosé, but the sales department didn't like that. But as Dan referenced, I don't think that Saunier rosé is really you pick grapes, red grapes ripe at a higher sugar, and then you bleed, and then you add some water and some acid. This is just pure. This was picked about 21 bricks, and it went whole cluster straight to press, and then it was fermented in stainless steel drums, small containers, with native yeast, and then left on its lees for about 4 months. And then actually, and this is pretty rare, after a couple years of experimentation, this was bottled unfiltered, which is rare for a non-malolactic wine. So this is...
It's a risky process, but David knows exactly what to do.
Yeah. I'm going to throw...
And it's dry, Steve, excuse me.
Yes,
there's
it is.
No sugar.
No, it's beautiful. I'm going to throw out a minor geek alert. You said lees?
Lees, thank you, Steve.
Somebody asked me recently, listening to the show, I saw them later, and they said, what do they mean when they say they left it on leaves?
Yeah. Lees,
you know, like leaves from a tree. No.
Lees, L-E-E-S in English, is the yeast cells that carried out the fermentation of grape juice to wine, making alcohol. And then when they eat up all the sugar, they just fall to the bottom of the barrel. Now, they're not dead. That's an old myth, that dead yeast fall to the bottom of the barrel. following fermentation. They're still alive, and so they keep the wine fresh.
Wow.
And provide texture. So the lees is the spent but still alive yeast cells.
So they're still working, even though
they're
dropped
still working.
Down.
And they develop characteristics you can't get without them.
Wow. That's fascinating.
That's back to the two-hour Bolognese as opposed to the 20-minute marinara.
This is California Wine Country. Check out our podcast. You can check out every episode or whatever of California Wine Country. It's now on Apple Podcast. Used to be on iTunes. Now they're calling it Apple Podcast. Stitcher, everywhere great podcasts are offered. And you can also go to calwinecountry.com. It's all brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, wine buyer from Bottle Barn, with us, of course. And Dan Berger, my co-host on California Wine Country. David Ramey is our guest. Back again from Ramey Wines. I can't believe it's been 2 years, but thereabouts.
I think it's been about 2.5 years. And then Dan, you know, we've actually known each other for about 35 years,
wow.
But this is the first time we tasted and had lunch today, first time in 10 years or so.
Yeah, there was a period of time where I didn't understand what David was doing and thought I knew something and didn't know anything, and now I figured it out. David taught me a lesson, so I'm always happy to be a happy participant in a learning curve.
And Barry, talk about Ramey and Sidebar availability at Bottle Barn.
I think we have virtually everything that they sell to retailers. In fact, I think maybe we sell the same as with the winery. I don't think you hold that many labels back, but we've got Syrahs, all the Cabernet-based wines, the Claret, single vineyard Cabernets. Sidebar Rosé, Sidebar Sauvignon Blanc.
What about the Chards?
All the Chards, all the single vineyard Chards, Russian River Chard. So, yeah, we're stocked.
Well, folks, you owe it to yourself to get to Bottle Barn and look into some of these wines because they're amazing. The Sidebar Rosé, Dan, talk more about why this is so special.
Oh, first of all, you can make rosé from just about any red wine grape. It somewhat depends on whether the grape is farmed properly to make a good rosé out of it. This wine is made from Syrah grapes that would have otherwise made a very, very nice red. And the secret is that David decided to capture all the components of that red fruit, but not allow any tannins to intrude. The color is bright. This has got another year before it actually begins to really develop other characteristics, but right now is so fabulous. The secret is harvesting it early.
Harvesting early, whole cluster pressing, and then instead of tank ferment, those small stainless steel barrels with the native yeast and leaving it on the lees for about 4 months. That plus it's dry. There's no sugar. So we're sort of purists that way. We don't make any wine that has sugar added or retained.
Yeah, and that's what I can't stand is the sweet wines. This is dry and it's gorgeous. Very.
Now the Sidebar red.
No, I love this rosé, and rosés do seem to be creeping into that sweeter and sweeter. There seems to be a crowd for it, but
yeah.
You know, I'm with you on the dry end. I need it to be bone dry, and it matches food better.
Yeah.
C-type Bistro would be a perfect choice.
I'm doing that.
Well, Dan and his wife go there every Wednesday night. So.
Every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
See me in the corner.
C-type Bistro. Great place.
C-type Bistro.
Oh, yeah. They have our Kerner, the Sidebar Kerner. Yeah.
I may have that tonight, too.
And that's what I was going to say. Last week, Carl and I spent a week on Kauai, and, you know, I'm thinking of all the sashimi that we ate just dipped into a little soy sauce with a wasabi, and this Sidebar Rosé would just go great with that.
Yeah, I can feel that.
It'll be on our table tonight.
I'm getting an alert from my producer. If I could find my phone.
That's the way.
Oh, there it is. I got it. Oh, caller called in to say, please repeat the name of the rosé. It's Sidebar.
Sidebar Cellars. And it happens to be rosé of Syrah from Russian River Valley, so right here in Sonoma County. And it's available either at the winery or at Bottle Barn.
Yeah. It'll be prominently displayed in our rosé garden. I think it's coming in on Friday.
All right.
I just ordered it.
Terrific wine.
And David, the other sidebar that you brought?
Well, this is an interesting wine. This we call a Red Field Blend. This is actually from Bill and Betsy Knockbauer's Alegria Vineyard. And half of this was planted in 1865.
Wow.
And the other half was planted in 1950. So half
that defines old vines.
Half of this is 100 years old, and half of this is 65 years old. And no new oak, dry. It's about 80% Zin and 10 Alicante and 10 Alicante Boucher and 10 Petite Syrah. But there's also 2% other, 13 other weird varieties planted throughout this vineyard. And
really?
Bill Knockbauer knows every single vine by name.
What's Alicante Boucher?
Alicante Boucher is a Teinturier grape. You want a geek alert?
Yeah,
the Teinturier grapes are red-juiced grapes.
Yeah. His property is like a grape laboratory, all the different
varieties. Totally.
And he makes a wine that has every single varietal in it.
I think so. And we call it Redfield Blend because our slice of those two blocks, we pick on one day all the varieties, and then it goes into one tank. So it's a red field blend. The
wow.
growers used to call, when they planted these, the growers called them, and the old winemakers, they called them mixed blacks because there was black grapes and white grapes. So, but I wanted to call them mixed blacks, but apparently our sales department didn't think that was a good idea.
No, David, I have to confer. Yes, no, I concur with your sales people.
A certain demographic that was
All right, guys, your thoughts on this?
I think this is fabulous. When I first tasted this, I guessed it had a few percentage points of Zinfandel in it, and David said, try 70 or more.
80%.
80% Zinfandel.
It's a Zinfandel.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's first time I've tasted this.
Raspberry and blackberry.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm going to have to speak to Dave Rep about that.
Yeah, get on. I know we sell it, but I have not gotten a chance to taste it.
Wow.
That's delicious wine.
And once again, dry. There's no sugar. Sometimes Zinfandel will have a little sugar in it, or some of the red blends, you know. And there's also no new oak. So those are sort of two taglines for Sidebar. No sugar, no new oak.
I like it.
And that's really fabulous wine for, just imagine, hamburgers.
I was just about to ask you to give me the food pairing.
You know,
hamburgers with
pizza, pasta, yeah. You know.
I was thinking how good it would go with hamburgers that had caramelized onions on top.
Ooh.
Now you start to pick up all those nuances of the smoke component. Yeah.
What about blue cheese on the burger?
You would do that. I'm happy to do that.
Me too.
Pick it up another level, yeah.
I love blue cheese on my burgers. Wow, that is what's the year on this one?
This is a 2015.
Okay, and the rosé?
The rosé was 2017. That's just bottled last month.
Oh, well, okay. And Dan, would you lay the rosé down?
Not intentionally.
He would though.
Well, that's what I call Dan lay it down.
Dan lay it down burger. Yeah.
Now,
Steve Chardonnay Jackson and Dan lay it down burger.
All my semillons were intentionally laid down.
That's a good one. Yeah, I feel like I need a middle name now. I'm feeling a little left out.
Yeah, we'll come up with
polish one up here.
I took one taste on this amazing sidebar. With all the blends and the names I can't pronounce, and I can only, I'll have to do the rest at home because Mike and I have a big meeting with our two of our bosses right after this show.
Do they like wine?
I don't know.
They're in luck if they do.
I think we'll bring all the wine in and see.
Yeah, they are.
Hey, you guys are the best. You guys are great.
That could go either way.
Yes, exactly. So what's coming up, what's new in 2018 for Ramey and Sidebar?
Well, we hope to get final permit to build our winery at Westside Farms. We were approved by the county, but you know, there are some people who think there are too many wineries in Sonoma County.
Well, this has been a debate for a while now.
They appealed it, so we're waiting for our favorite supervisor, James Gore, to schedule it before the Board of Supervisors. James, are you listening?
Well, he's a friend of mine personally and a regular guest, so I will text him today. I got some juice, you know, so let me use it for you. What about that, guys, the whole debate? And I understand both sides completely. You know, there's too many wineries, there's too much traffic, there's this and that.
Think of the alternatives, though. Think of the alternatives. What do you want, apartment building complexes, or right. Do you want vineyards and
beautiful
wineries?
Yeah. And vineyards, and yeah, I know.
You know, the dialogue revolves around preserving rural Sonoma County, but there, and keeping commercialism out of aglands. But what the alternative is that people building houses on ag-zoned land, LIA, land-intensive agriculture, and then saying that wineries are commercializing rural. Well, agriculture has always been commercial. It has to be commercial to support itself. This is not landscaping that we're supporting here for retirees.
Yeah,
and yet,
right.
And yet agriculture is really under assault by rural residentialists.
Yeah, it's a fascinating subject, and one we'll continue to talk about. Barry Herbst, Dan Berger, and the great David Ramey from Ramey Wines. We're going to continue with California Wine Country.
Well, we have a wine we haven't talked about. We have Syrah, I believe.
All right. Again, I can't taste anything because I got the big meeting with the big bosses.
Okay.
But,
the Syrah is going to be...
I don't need to because you three will talk all about it. So,
Syrah is an interesting grape variety because it really ought to be grown in a cooler area than it is planted in most places. David selects vineyards that are primarily cooler regions, and that's why this Ramey Syrah is a world beater. This is one of the great Syrahs in the world.
Really?
This is one of the top 10 Syrahs I've ever tasted.
Now, I don't believe I've ever tasted this. I'm going to have to,
just smell it at least, because
I'll smell it.
Will give you the black pepper. Once you smell the black pepper, you'll be enticed to try it.
Oh, I love the black pepper and the aroma. Yeah. And what year is this, David?
Well, this one that I just poured you, we have two vintages. The current release is 2014, but this is a library release that we opened for lunch with Dan today. This is a 2010.
Wow.
So it's got a little, not a lot, but a little age. It's starting to get a little complexity. And to follow up on what Dan was saying, you know, Syrah's a little bit misunderstood, and when grown in a warm climate, it can be sort of jam in the bottle. But we like the cool climate expression, which brings peppercorn and bacon fat, smoked meat, green olive.
Smoked meat character.
Grapefruit.
I'm getting that. I'm getting bacon fat. I can't believe it. And the pepper
it's
is,
killer,
I just
isn't it?
Love it.
There you are.
Yeah,
and so cool climate Syrah is more of a savory variety than a fruity variety. And so you'd have this like with braised lamb shanks with garlicky white beans. You'd have it with duck sausage with green peppercorn, that sort of southern Provençal food.
Maybe some arugula that's been steamed on the side because you've got that slightly bitter.
Peppery from, peppery, the arugula. Yeah.
Or broccoli rabe.
There you go. Perfect. Exactly.
We call it rapini.
We had for lunch today.
I love the rapini. I make it all the time.
Fabulous.
You know, olive oil, garlic, and steam those suckers.
And this wine goes perfect with that. Because the peppery component in the wine is ideal for that kind of food.
Oh, I'm going to make rapini tonight. I just love it.
It's beautiful. Very reminiscent of Northern.
This is only 7 years old. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when it's 12 and 14? This is killer wine.
Well, that's Dan Lay It Down Burger again. You know.
I think the surprising thing is that more people have not identified cool climate Syrah as a go-to kind of wine.
Well, you know, most people know that Cabernet is the variety, grape variety of Bordeaux, and most people know that Chardonnay and Pinot Noir are the grape varieties of Burgundy. But they don't make a lot of Côte Rôti or Hermitage or Cornas. So, and often they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people aren't familiar with the classical model for Syrah.
Hermitage is hard to find.
It's hard to find.
If I can have two or three in the store at a time, I'm doing quite well.
The big name there is Chav, but those are hugely expensive. Those are $350 a bottle.
Yeah, what is your price for the Syrah? This new release.
This is $65.
So to me that's a bargain because you can't replicate this characteristic for less than about $200 on the French market.
The Gigal Lalas, La Moline, La Turque, La Landon, those are $500 a bottle.
Yeah.
This Rogers
really?
Creek is
yeah.
that's
this Rogers Creek Vineyard.
This is a very special vineyard.
It's on the southwest face of Sonoma Mountain. So it's in now what's being called officially the Petaluma Gap.
It's cold.
And it's the last vineyard we pick. It's so cool. So on the next vintage, 2015, the label calls out rather than just Sonoma Coast, it also says Petaluma Gap. And that's pretty exciting. That's a good name. I like
that. This is actually
name.
I would say, I hate to say that a $65 wine is a bargain, but it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's
it's
east
unique.
Of Lakeville in the mountains.
Almost, yeah. You go up you access it from Stage Gulch Road by the used to be where the dump is, but by the gravel factory, and then you go way up and you're looking down Petaluma Hill Road. And
David, tell folks a little more, reiterate the wines you make, Ramey and Sidebar.
So for Ramey is our main brand. Sidebar is a small, small thing. So we make Chardonnay, mostly Chardonnay, all of it from Sonoma County, except for one single vineyard, which is Hyde Vineyard. So we make seven different Chardonnays, and then we make a little Cabernet. And then a little Syrah, and we just started making some Russian River Valley Pinot Noir.
Yeah, saw that recently.
All right. And event-wise, I know you're dealing with all the permits and everything to make a move here, but event-wise, anything coming up this year before the move?
We're not big on events. We don't do events.
So many wineries do.
No, we're not. And
probably don't have enough wine to do it.
we said for the permit for Westside Farms, we said no weddings, no concerts, no outdoor music of any kind.
Wow.
I mean, it's just...
You're one of the few who have said that.
We make wine and sell wine. That's our business.
Yeah.
We don't need
the other stuff.
We don't put on parties for a living.
The only thing he would do would be a silent poetry reading.
very silent. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, thanks so much to David Ramey. Ramey Wines. It's always a pleasure to see you. It's been too long, so let's do this again at some point.
Steve, thank you. I'm sure we will.
All right, and Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn, all these amazing sidebars and Ramey wines available there. And Dan Berger from Dan Berger.
That's a delight to be here because I always get good wine.
Right on. Any thoughts on next week?
I forget who's next week. What do we have next week? I forget.
That's all right.
We'll do another one. Somebody's already online. So
I forgot Tuesday yesterday. I have no idea. Oh, I'm just getting the stretch sign from Mike. No, I thought we had the Warriors, but now we don't. All right. It's California Wine Country on the drive.
One more time.
David, go out to your car and bring in seven more bottles. And
I will say one thing, and we don't have the bottle here. But David is making, under the Sidebar label, he's making a Kerner, and it is fabulous. Kerner is a white grape. It is grown in some small areas of Northern Europe. You don't see it very much. It's also grown in South Africa. You see Kerner in South Africa. David is making what I consider to be the best Kerner I have ever tasted in my life. It's white wine. It smells a little teeny bit like Riesling. But it's also got a spice component, not unlike Gewürztraminer. This is talk about your Kerner.
Kerner. I've never heard of Kerner.
Yeah.
I went to high school with a guy named Mike Kerner, but I don't think he has anything to do with it.
Yeah, Kerner. I was doing a tasting in Manhattan, and a longtime friend Paul Greco of Terroir Wine Bar, at the time he co-owned Hearth restaurant, and he brought us a glass of each glass of wine and blind, and it was delicious, and it was a little Riesling-esque, but it had more body, more mouthfeel and texture, and it turned out it was Kerner. That was my first introduction, and then I found the only planting of Kerner west of the Mississippi. It happens to be in Lodi. So until we can plant some at Westside Farms, that's where we're sourcing it, and it's just delicious. So it's Lodi Kerner. Kerner's a cross, a German cross, between Riesling and Trollinger, which is a red grape, sometimes called Chiava also. And mostly where you get it is from the Alto Adige in the northern Italy. And it's just a charming white variety, aromatic.
Was your mother Italian? You have the pronunciation
yeah,
so well. Yeah,
I think I say ravioli.
Even got the hand gestures.
With the accent, yeah.
You know. His hands are talking.
I don't know how he can't talk when he's driving.
Oh, by the way, that car. That is an amazing car. It's not as cool as my Kia, but...
You saw my car?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's very cool.
I try to keep low profile on
that. Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Are
we on the air? I thought the Warriors were on. No, I guess not.
No, we're still going along.
All right.
I'm still going with this Syrah. I will say, of all the Syrahs that I've tasted, this is in the top 10 I've ever tasted in the world, and including the best Syrah I ever tasted, which was from New Zealand. The second best was from New Zealand. That's another story altogether. We'll get there someday. But what's really fascinating is that David has focused on this, and very few California winemakers have. Not easy to do it. The problem always is that you can't find enough grapes in the cool climates that are Syrah.
Yeah. It's and again, not everybody understands Syrah, so it can be a tougher sell. We planted this vineyard, or had it planted for us to our specifications, with the clones 470 and 877. I think those are the two clones. And we put in right now. This is co-fermented with about 10% Viognier, which is traditional in actually in Co-Roti, and that brings a floral
geek alert
to it.
Co-Roti.
Co-Roti is a region of the Rhone Valley.
Rhone Valley.
Produces wines that have more of the black pepper components.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Often mispronounced as Cody Rhodey.
Yeah, there you go.
David Ramey, Ramey Wines and Sidebar Wines. Go to RameyWines.com. They're, like I've been saying all day, pretty much one of my, certainly one of my favorite wineries in our area, and my favorite Chardonnay ever. David, great to see you again.
Steve, thanks a bunch. Great to be
here.
You
betcha. And Barry Herbst, go to Bottle Barn and get all these great Ramies. And Dan Berger, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.